Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This interview is sponsored by a new and standout destination in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by longtime healthcare professionals Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora blends advanced technology with personalized care to help you feel your best. Whether it's whole body cryotherapy to reduce inflammation, an infrared sauna to detox and relax, LED light therapy to recharge at the cellular level, or assisted stretching to improve mobility, Alora has something for everybody. Their mission to provide science-backed wellness in a calm, welcoming space. Whether you're recovering from a tough workout, managing stress, or just investing in your long-term health, Alora is your modern approach to feeling better mind, body, and soul. Stop by 821 C Highway 12 right across from Kroger or explore more at AloraModernWellness.com. It's hard to believe that we're only 12 weeks away from the start of the college football season, and as is tradition here on Thunder and Lightning, it's time to start with our opponent previews, and as always, we go back to front so that when we get to the end, we're at the team that Mississippi State is playing. What does that mean? Means we're going to talk about the Egg Bowl today with Michael Katz from the Daily Journal. Michael, I have always been a guy, one thing I've always talked about is cycles with Mississippi State and Ole Miss, that these programs, it's tough for them. In a five-year cycle, you should have three pretty good years. You can have one year where you're really up, and then you have one year where maybe you take a step back. Ole Miss has broken the cycle. They are looking at their fifth straight really good season. Their down year was an eight-win year. Is this a year where, if I'm right about cycles, that Ole Miss could be down in some way, or is the team just too talented and the schedule too conducive that this team is just going to win 8-9 games again this season?
It's hard for me to see them not getting at least 8. I think 8-4, 9-3 is a pretty reasonable expectation for things like you said. That schedule is still, by SEC standards, pretty on the easier side. Also, you get, you know, a lot of those games last year, those tough ones towards the end, those are road games. You get LSU at home this year, you get Florida at home this year. Obviously, the Kentucky one, that was inexcusable. We know that was I still, it's been several months since that happened. I still can't believe that happened. That's early on in the season at Kentucky, and that's, you know, Mark Stoops' team's play. They're tough. They're gritty. That being said, I think it's easy to look at this team and see the things they lost, like Jackson Dart and the receivers and Walter Nolan and all these great defenders. But I think the thing that has this Ole Miss program in such a good place is that they've done a really good job of preparing for those sorts of losses through recruiting and the portal and just sort of building this program to a place where, yeah, are you going to be a playoff contender every year? You'd love to be, but let's be honest, that's just probably not how it works. But you're in a place where you're going to be in the national conversation. And I think that the way they've recruited at the high school ranks, particularly the last few years, has been really good. Obviously, you know what Lane Kiffin does in the portal. But I think they're more filling in the gaps now in the portal where, you know, these last couple of years, it was finding superstars in the portal like Jackson Dart and Walter and Princely, and you know, maybe that's just what this class was this year, but there weren't those sorts of guys, and I think that's because they feel pretty good about the guys that they already had, and that it was more of maybe filling in gaps than it was a complete overhaul. So I guess that's a long-winded way of saying I think this program's in a good place. I don't know what it's going to take for it to completely fall off a cliff, but I don't think this is it.
Yeah, I think we both know what it would take, and that would be Lane Kiffin deciding to take a different job, but that doesn't seem to be happening anytime soon. If Ole Miss wins the Egg Bowl this year, they'll have won five of the last six. The last time that happened, I was 15. It was 1990. They won in 86. They won, what, 85, 86, 88, 89, 90. And young Brian Haydad was in attendance for most of those and didn't have a good time. I didn't go to the one win, which is incredible. For State, you know, breaking that cycle, I feel like, would give Lebby, goodness gracious. I remember Mullen's first year, and, you know, he was 4-7 coming into that game, and there was a lot of, yeah, they're better, but it's still a long way to go. And then you beat Ole Miss, and everything changed in that one offseason. The next year, Ole Miss is 4-8, and I'm not predicting that if State were to find an Egg Bowl win, that Ole Miss would fall off that cliff we were just talking about. But this is a massive – the game's important every year, but I feel for State, this is one of the biggest Egg Bowls ever. They have to find a way to break the cycle. I guess my question is, when you look at these two teams in June, is that even a remote possibility from your perspective?
I mean, I guess it's always a possibility because you know how weird this game can be and has been historically. But I mean, if we're just looking at rosters and where the programs are, it's hard to see a path for State, but
It's fair.
I think that, like you said, like this is a really important one for State, just to sort of show the signs of life that you need to see in year two under Levy, to see the signs of the offense growing and all these sorts of things. You got to see the star quarterback and all of those types of things. But I guess for, as of right now, it's probably it's difficult to see that road, but weird things happen in during seasons from start to finish, and weird things happen in the Egg Bowl particularly. Sometimes guys lift their legs and pee on the field. You just never know what's going to happen. But I would say
Were
if
you
we're
at
just
that game? Were you at
I
that
was not, that
game?
was right
Okay.
before I got here. But if we're, I mean, if we're looking at roster composition and just where the programs are, Ole Miss seems to still be a pretty good amount ahead. But like you said, one game can change that.
And what's interesting is these are the two of the best years in Ole Miss history, these past two seasons. These are two really bad years for Mississippi State. Final margin of victory was 10 points 2 years ago, 12 points. Mississippi State was on the goal line with a chance to cut it to five late in the game this past year in Oxford. These games have been kind of close. Is there a reason for that from your perspective? I don't think it's just a simple, well, when they're, these two rivals get together to throw the record books out. There's something. Ole Miss has just not played as well against Mississippi State these past 2 years as they have against other teams.
I think Ole Miss, and this is we saw this year, has from time to time played down to competition. I mean, look again, the Kentucky game, the inexcusable loss to the 4-8 Kentucky team.
Yeah.
That game single-handedly kept you out of the playoff. If you lose to Florida and LSU, all's forgiven as long as you win the other games that you won. But the Kentucky one, that just they couldn't overcome that. We have seen them from time to time, maybe not play their best against the mid-level opponents. Now, they come out like world beaters against Georgia and South Carolina, and that LSU game, they were up the entire game until the overtime
Yeah, man.
play. They played pretty well that game. They've played well against good teams for the most part recently. Obviously the an Alabama game here and there notwithstanding. But I think in a 12 game regular season, I think it's hard to stay focused for that long, and you're gonna have those lulls where I think you walk out there and you're like, we should beat the crap out of this team, but you get in the trenches and it's not as easy as you thought, and then it probably starts going through your head like, oh wait, are we gonna win this game? So I think it's just and I think that's the next step for there's a couple next steps I think for Ole Miss. One, it's developing offensive line. I think that's the biggest thing for this program right now. We've seen quarterbacks, we've seen running backs, we've seen receivers, we've seen defensive linemen. I think the next step for the program is the offensive line. I think when you start churning those guys out, that's when your program's in a really good place. The other thing I think is the consistency of you don't have those weeks off. If you look at those great, Georgia teams or Alabama teams or any of the great dynasties, yeah, you're going to lose a game here and there, but for the most part, you take care of your business against the teams you need to. And I think that's a big step is not losing the games that you need to win.
I think it's not, hyperbole to say this is a very hyped season for Austin Simmons based off of one drive. The guy
Yep.
had came in, look, I won't take anything away from him. He came into an incredibly pressure-packed situation and looked like Joe Montana, Tom Brady. I mean, he just looked great. That's all we got to see, though, really. I mean, we saw some of him in mop-up time against the weaker opponents. What is Austin Simmons? Is he the quarterback that we saw in that one drive? Is he just going to have some freshman mistakes? What do you expect from him in his first year as the starter at Ole Miss?
I think it's tough because, like you said, the extended action we've seen from him was this incredible. We went 5 for 6 and led that touchdown drive in a moment where, if Georgia scores again, that's a 2-score game in the first quarter, and that thing maybe completely spirals out of control before Jackson's able to come back in. So I mean, yeah, no, it was huge, and that was really part of the hype machine, but I think with Austin, yeah, I listen, is he going to come in and play like a fourth-year guy like Jackson? Was Jackson didn't make mistakes for the most part last year, and I don't know if you can expect, a redshirt sophomore to come in and do all the same things. That being said, you hate to do the eyeball Olympics, but when he throws a football, it looks a little different. I mean, that arm is just Yeah, I know he's a lefty, and I know the Tua thing that comes up a lot with him, right? They
I
just
had
sort
Greg
of look like.
McElroy on the show yesterday, and he talked about Simmons, and he's like, he can just make throws where the coverage can be perfect, and he still gets the pass to the receiver.
Yeah, I mean the arm is elite. Jaxson Dart has a fantastic arm. There's a reason he went in the first round. But Austin Simmons, you know, there's a reason he was throwing 95 as a true freshman reliever for the baseball team. Like that arm is rare. I also think too. I know this is going to be the new talking point this year. This is the new Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard, or that Ryan Williams is only 17. It's that Austin Simmons graduated already. That's the new one, I fear.
You can have that one.
Yeah, we're gonna
You'll
hear
get
that
to
one a
write
lot.
about it a lot.
Yeah, we're gonna hear that one a lot. But I think he's a really mature kid. I know he's low on experience at this level, but he's a really smart kid. I think he understands what being the face of a program is. He learned from a great guy. Jaxson Dart was about as good as it gets in terms of learning on how to handle all the things of being an SEC quarterback. But yeah, no, I mean he's wiser than most sophomores are. Again, he's already starting his master's program or whatever. To ex you know, are am I expecting him to throw 30 touchdowns and four picks or you know whatever it was that Jackson did last year and lead the nation in efficiency? I don't know if that's fair, but I don't expect this thing to fall off a cliff in terms of the production. I think Austin is going to do a really good job. He's just I think that he's too talented. I think he's too smart and. I do think there is something to be said for like Lane has had him picked as his next quarterback for a while. You know, he brought in competition. They brought in Walker Howard a couple years ago, and they said, Austin Simmons, you are above him on the depth chart. Like that said something to me. When you bring in these guys and you still stick with your high school guy and so you say, hey, there's no competition brought in this year. You know, even with Jackson, they brought in Spencer Sanders. They didn't bring in any competition for Austin. This is Austin's team, and I think that says a lot about what they think he can do.
Almost going to play their best running back this year, and if so, who is that?
Isn't that the million-dollar question? Depending on the week, last year it was a walk-on wide receiver from Air Force, sometimes playing running back. I still don't really understand how that one went down, but yeah, that was an interesting one. I think there's a couple guys to look at. You know, Logan Diggs is finally healthy. He's a former Notre Dame and LSU guy. He was LSU's leading running back rusher a couple years ago until he tore up his knee in the bowl game. I think it was the it was against Wisconsin or Purdue or something. But it took him a while to get back. He only played one game last year, and I think he only got one carry in the bowl game. But he's finally healthy. He's been a productive guy everywhere he's been. And so I think that's going to be big. I think that consistency at the position is key, something they did not have last year. I think the other guy is Kewon Lacy, Missouri transfer. He was the guy that almost went to Ole Miss out of high school, chose Mizzou. He was a four-star kid. Didn't play a ton there last year. I think they brought in some transfers too, and he just kind of got lost in the shuffle. Transferred to Ole Miss this year. I think he's a really talented kid. I think last year's lesson, there are a couple lessons, but one of them is that you can never have too many healthy running backs because when Henry Parrish went out, it all really kind of fell apart back there. Henry was having a nice year. It just never really recovered after that. And there's the whole Ulysses Bentley saga. I don't know if we'll ever get to the bottom of what truly happened there, but I think it's safe to say it just did not work
You're a
out.
big J. Dig into that. Let's
Oh, brother, we have all tried, and I just just there's I can't wait for his book. Let's just say that whenever the book comes out, I'll write the foreword, please. I just need to know what happened. But yeah, I think they are trying to avoid a situation like that again because listen, like you can put all that on Jaxson Dart. He was a senior. He's a guy who, if things aren't going well in the running game, he can make it happen. I don't think you want to put Austin in that sort of situation. Not like he can't do it. But you want to give a young quarterback as much of a running game as you can.
You think back to last year's Egg Bowl, and Ole Miss was not very good offensively. I mean, if they don't have that long touchdown run by Bentley, I don't know how that game goes. But defensively, they were dominant, and that was the case for them all season long. They were the number one defense in the conference. Big losses on that side of the ball, and it felt like Ole Miss made a. You talked about Simmons, and they put their faith in the high school guy. I feel like they kind of did that with their defensive line too. They're going to replace Umanmi Ellen and Nolan and Ivy and Pegues. with those guys they recruited a couple of years ago, Kamarion Franklin and Beavers and Rush, and obviously Xavien Harris is still there. Is that the right formula, do you think?
I think it is. I think it has to be, because I don't think you can't expect Walter Nolans to end up in the portal every year, right?
Right.
I mean, those are just them and Princely. Like, that was a remo I mean, that's an all-time transfer portal haul in what you got there. And Pooh Paul and Trey Amos. I mean, you got high-level SEC All-American type players in that transfer portal haul. I don't think you can expect that every year. So I think they really have been focusing on building the defensive trenches for whenever those guys left. And again, can you expect Franklin to be Princely and someone to step in and be Walter Nolan right away? Again, I think that's like putting Jackson Dart expectations on Austin right now. But I think the big thing is, listen, this was the number two scoring defense in the country last year. There were
Right.
times when this defense was way better than the offense.
Oh
The
yeah.
defense led to them winning a lot of those games. And the offense
It
was like,
won the Georgia game.
yeah, I mean, that was the number,
100%.
and they had the number three scoring offense in the country. And there were times when the defense was miles ahead of the offense. Do I expect it to be that way this year? I don't know. I don't think it's, if we're looking at the trajectory of the Ole Miss program under Lane, they've had one elite defense. The defense the year before was pretty good. I expect it to probably be a little bit closer to that, maybe a little bit better than the 2023 team. I just think the big thing is you just can't let it go from this elite defense to just all hell breaks loose. You don't have the talent anymore. You just are depending on 50 points a game. They can't do that. And I think that what Pete Golding has done is he's recruited in a way that they're not going to have to do that. So, I know Pete, when he came from Alabama, he had a lot of critics over there. He's done nothing but an amazing job at Ole Miss in terms of recruiting and the game
100%.
plan.
Yep.
And I mean, he's really turned this thing around to where you could come to Ole Miss now and become a first round pick on defense. And who the hell would have ever said that the first couple of years, So I think that is this going to be the best defense in the country? Arguably, again, probably not. But I think it can still be really good because they've racked up a lot of that high school talent and they filled in the gaps with guys at Princely's brother and Deshaun Womack, and they've got guys who can help what they already had.
People tell me I'm kind of negative, so I'm going to play positive here for my final question. Let's say, you said 8-4 was probably the best case scenario, or not the best case, but probably the low end scenario for Ole Miss, right? So they come into the Egg Bowl 7-4 in that scenario. Let's say State has put something together. They win those four non-conference games at the beginning of the year. They beat Arkansas. They're 5-6 coming into this game. They have to win to go to a bowl, and they do it. And say State finishes 6-6, and then Ole Miss is 7-5, and where are we if that happens?
It would remind me a lot of that 2022 season,
Mm-hmm.
when what were they, 7-0, I think Ole Miss was,
They
and they
were, yeah.
lost 5 of 6, and it all went very, very south very quickly. It would probably seem like that sort of season. Obviously, every season has its own story, but for it to go like that, I think would sort of have to spiral.
Yeah.
And again, they lost the Egg Bowl that year that was a heart. I mean, that was a game. Ole Miss, they were right there. They have that huge play late to get them into position, and four shots to the end zone, you don't get it. And then they stop running the ball, and there were a lot of questions there at the end of that one. And obviously, there were some rumors about a head coach going to Auburn at that time. There were a lot of moving pieces.
It may have been a little bit
I
more
think.
than rumors. I'll be
Yeah,
honest with you.
there were a lot of moving pieces at the end of that season.
Yeah.
But hypothetically, if they do go 7-5, are people going to be bummed? Of course. But I think Lane has earned a little bit of leeway in terms of, listen, you're coming off the two best, maybe arguably the best 2 year run in modern program history, at least in the last couple decades, in terms of what they've done with 21 wins and top 15 rankings and all that sort of stuff, the draft picks. Would 7-5 be a huge bummer? Of course. I mean, this is a top 20 team, I think,
I think so too,
preseason.
yeah.
But I think he's got a little bit of a runway for to adjust things and get them back on track. Because look, the last time it quote unquote fell apart and they went 8-5, they went 11-2 the next year. So I think that assuming that everything else stays in place and the coaching staff stays as is currently constructed, I think it's hard for me to see it staying at that 7-5 level for too long if it were to go that way, if that makes
I
sense.
agree with you. As I said, I just wanted to play the what if game there on the potential of an interesting egg bowl on Black Friday. All right, man. I will talk to you again in I guess about a month. I'll see you at SEC Media Days, but then after that, I'll talk to you again in November when we actually preview this game when we get there. Michael Katz, The Daily Journal. Always appreciate your time, man.
Appreciate you, buddy.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.